T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to Total Information AM. I'm Megan Lynch. Artificial intelligence has caused some angst on college campuses as schools have had to grapple with some issues like authorship and potential plagiarism. Well, one institution has now brokered a partnership with OpenAI. It's the first of its kind. Of course, OpenAI is the company behind ChatGPT. Arizona State University will begin to offer an unlimited version of ChatGPT Enterprise to its community. And joining us now to talk more about it is Deputy Chief Information Officer Kyle Bowen. Thank you so much, Kyle, for being with us.
Oh, thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Why is Arizona State partnering with OpenAI?
You know, we've been working as a university for more than the past year exploring the promise and potential around generative AI. And really with, as they introduced their ChatGPT Enterprise product, it began to introduce a lot of the privacy features that we were looking for in this kind of tool set.
Talk about some of those privacy features that were attractive to you.
Sure. So part of this is as we make this technology available to our faculty, to our staff, ensuring that the ways that they use it, the information that they put in, kind of stays inside of the ASU ecosystem. What this has allowed us to do is to create a ASU workspace where our faculty, staff, students can work and kind of keep that inside of the family, as it were.
So tell us more about how the partnership is actually going to work at the start. Who's going to have access to this?
Sure. So we put out a solicitation on February 1st to our entire ASU community, looking for big ideas, small ideas, all of the ways that generative AI can impact teaching, research, and work. And from that, these ideas are flowing in right now. We'll have our first review of them here at the beginning of next week and begin to award the access to the ChatGPT Enterprise.
Now, will OpenAI be using anything that you do for its training models, for example?
No, and that's part of this arrangement using the ChatGPT Enterprise is that, again, that the ways that we use that technology kind of stays inside of the ASU workspace. But part of it is the opportunity to work together with OpenAI to explore what are the impactful use cases to help inform the advancing of the technology, how does this get used at other institutions, and what are the ways that we can do this principally and responsibly?
How will it be monitored and studied as you're doing this?
That's a great question because, with so many different use cases, part of what we're asking our community to do is to design innovative use cases for assessing that work. What is the impact that it's having? Because the way that you impact changes to teaching versus changes to work are very different. And part of it is also, what is the expected outcome of that? So in terms of how do we begin to introduce this to use with our students and courses and to change how people work across different units and departments.
How are you handling some of the ethical questions that surround OpenAI and this type of technology in general?
So we have a number of different strategies for addressing that. First is that we've impaneled a group of faculty here at ASU who are scholars and researchers in technology ethics that help inform and guide how we engage in some of these activities. And they come from a wide range of backgrounds, including business and law, engineering and art, to help inform some of these kinds of efforts. We also, it was built into our strategy for bringing it out to our community by starting with our faculty between staff, really kind of paving the way for student applications as well.
One of the questions that universities grapple with is, you know, if we don't try to embrace this type of technology, will we get left behind and will our students get left behind? I am assuming that's one of the considerations there at Arizona State.
Well, generative AI is definitely a part of our present and our future. And so for many of our students, these technologies will be a part of their future work. So it's important that we introduce them to them now and provide the opportunity to explore how they kind of impact based on their chosen discipline.
Do you have ethical standards that have been laid out for use of this at this point, or is that something that's going to be developed, as you were mentioning?
Yeah, that's where the university has provided guidance to our faculty around, you know, supporting AI use and expectations there. And I think part of it really is, you know, for students to talk with their instructors about what expectations are for AI and where it needs to be appropriately cited.
What have you heard from the faculty and maybe some of the research staff there about the pros and cons of this for them?
Well, our community is very excited about this opportunity and really is looking for the ways that this can change how they do their work, how it changes how they can teach, what are the opportunities where it can kind of reduce workloads or help improve engagement, these kinds of things. So I think that's right now what's really exciting about the response to this is the optimism and the forward thinking from our highly creative faculty and our engaged staff.
I know one of the things that I've heard about the technology is just the ability, especially for researchers, to sift through a lot of data. I'm assuming that that's one of those things that they are excited about with this.
Absolutely. So that's where, particularly if you have a lot of unstructured information, and so that thinking about, you know, transcripts from, you know, videos or audio files or transcripts from interviews or open-ended response questions, right? These kinds of things, that using these types of tools, we can get insight into, what are the ideas that are emerging from, you know, what's being shared or submitted in an unstructured way.
As part of this partnership, what does OpenAI get out of this? Because as we mentioned, they're not using it, you know, for their training. So is there a benefit for them as well to partner with you on this?
So ASU is a large organization. We have an incredibly diverse student body. We have faculty who are working and studying in a broad range of disciplines. And so part of what we're offering here is the opportunity to shape what is, you know, how can this technology be used to advance higher education? And that's where a lot of our conversations have been around, which is really, what does it take to implement a generative AI technology at a large institution?
And I understand there's going to be like a higher level of computing power than maybe would be available for their free versions.
That's exactly right. So part of this collaboration with OpenAI is that within the ChatGPT enterprise environment, our users here at ASU can put in more data than you would be able to do even with a free or paid account on ChatGPT. And that's part of what we're exploring as well, is with that additional capability, what types of applications does that unlock for us?
At the end of the day, who owns the work that might be created from this?
Well, and that's where our, you know, acceptable use policies at the university kind of outline expectations around that. So I think part of it would be how it is providing guidance to our university community that is in alignment with, how that's seen both as part of teaching, research, and learning.
But Arizona State's Kyle Bowen, thank you so much. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you very much.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.